Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, Dr. Tan, Tana Ministries, and I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast. I wanted to just come in on this great Sunday evening and give you some inspirational nuggets to take through the week. And so I am going to speak on the topic, afflicted but still predestined. Again, the topic this evening is afflicted but still predestined. I wanted to start off by giving just some definitions of the words afflicted and then predestined. And so we're going to start off by just getting into some background information before I introduce the topic at hand. But again, it is entitled Afflicted but Still Determined. So the word afflicted means suffering, hardship. Affliction can be physical, it could be emotional or spiritual. I mean, when you think about some of the people in the Bible, and there were so many that suffered afflictions. We think about Jesus, Job, Joseph, David, and even Paul. You have Esther, Ruth, Mary, and even Hannah. And so the purpose of the affliction from a spiritual standpoint is to draw us closer to God. It purifies us. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It renews in us the right spirit. It strengthens our faith. It develops our character. It anchors our hope. It dissolves our arrogance. It exposes hypocrisy. It encourages self-reflection. It promotes obedience and it honors forgiveness and repentance. And one of the scriptures that I'm reminded of is Psalms 34:19 that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. We are reminded that Paul had a thorn in his flesh. It was an affliction, one that he dealt with on a daily basis. He repeatedly asked God to remove this thorn in his flesh. But scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so when we think about what God was telling Paul was that, listen, you're suffering an affliction, but even in your weakness, you're made strong as long as you are connected to me, as long as you reverence me, as long as you honor and worship me. Because we all know that God has never lost a battle, so he wouldn't start now. And so what he was letting them know that even though in your own might, in your own as humans, in our own might, in our own physical strength, mental capacity, in our own emotional intelligence, we might be weak in some areas, but with God, we are with him on our side. Whatever we're dealing with, we are made strong with him, for all things are possible with God. And so I want to also reference the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. And it reads, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so there again, it says that, you know, our afflictions are light compared to what God has promised us, where we are going, where our faith journey is going to take us, because at the end of the day, we all know that the glory, the crown that we are trying to receive is the crown of life. And so even though we are suffering these light afflictions, that the reward is so much greater. And so God gives us that scripture so that we are encouraged that even when we're going through, we understand that at the end, God says that he will reward us if we are diligently, if we diligently seek him. Okay. And so we want to make sure that we understand that the afflictions are not to make us to give up. They're not for us to give up. They're not to depress us, because afflictions are meant to humble us, not to depress us. And so if afflictions depress you, that means it could mean one or two things. It could mean that, now let me just say this, because we are human, and there are times when we become depressed, or we become down, or we are sad, because we are human, and sometimes we allow our emotions to dictate our reactions. However, when we realize that because we are children of the Most High God, that we can overcome every temptation, every obstacle, everything that comes our way with Christ. It says in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we have to be mindful that even when we are bogged down by the things of life, the issues of life, the situations in our lives, that even then God is still our strength. And so when it depresses us to a point that we can't get back up, we have to understand that maybe our connection, our faith line, our or has been disconnected at some point. And so we have to get back connected to the true vine. We have to get back connected to our power source, so that when we are disconnected from the power source, we lose power. Our faith can diminish. And so, but when we hook back up to the power source, when we hook back up to God and hold on to his unchanging hand, then what happens is our strength is renewed. We have, our faith is increased. Our hope is restored, and the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And so we have to make sure that we are always connected to our power source. I want to read another scripture as we're talking about afflictions. And so that scripture is Romans 8 and 18. And it says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so that says, you know, whatever we're dealing with is not worthy of what the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And that's a powerful scripture. And then I'm reminded of John 16 and 33. John 16 and 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And so we have to be mindful that we're going to go through trials and tribulations. In fact, James 1 and 2 tells us to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations and tribulations, because it worketh our patience. In other words, it's working out a far more eternal glory. It's working out for our good. Even though it doesn't feel good, it's working out for our good. And so, and that's also what Romans 8 and 28 says, that, you know, it works out for our good. And so we're going to keep moving along and go to the definition of predestined. And so the word predestined just means unchangeable. It's God's plan. And so when I think about predestination, I'm reminded of Jeremiah 1 and 5 when it says, "Before I formed thee, I knew thee." So that just means that he knew what he had already established us to be before we were even born. God had already had a plan for our life. We were not here. There's nothing that caught God by surprise. It was not, you know, it's not a mistaken identity thing. God already knew before we were formed in the womb. And so when you think about predestined and you think about how that works, let me give you some scriptures for that. And so Romans 8 and 28 through 30 reads, "And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom did he foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, then he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." And so he already has taken in consideration that we're going to have afflictions, but he is saying that the good and the bad is going to work out for our good when we go on the wrong path. As long as we come back to God, he said he'll work that in too, that we'll have nothing missing and nothing broken. So even when we stray away, all of that will work out in the plan that God has predestined. He's already taking in consideration what we're going to do, because he already knows what we're going to do. He made us. So he knows every choice we're going to make, every mistake we're going to make, every path we're going to take, and he has weaved it all together to work for your good. And so there's never going to be a time, you know, sometimes we be like, "Well, I should have been this far along and I should have been here." You're right where God needs you to be. He is not surprised by where you are. You're right where he has you at. You're right where he needs you to be, because where you are is where he wants you, so that he can get the glory. He can show that all the things that you went through, every life lesson that you learned, every test, trial, and tribulation that you experienced, it worked out for your good. It developed your character. It helped you to pursue Christ. It helped you to become a better person. It helped you to develop self-reflection, humility. It helped you to work on your patience. You develop patience and you understood the power of forgiveness. It helped you to have perseverance, and it also helped you to express love. Even when love wasn't shown to you, you could be able to show people that mistreated you, talked about you, hated on you, misused you, you could still show them a level of love that Christ would has shown all of us, because none of us are perfect, even though we are perfected through the things of Christ. And so this is what it shows, the predestination, that God has already had a plan for our life. And so when I think about Romans 8:28, I feel like that is a very powerful scripture. But even so, when we talk about predestination, John 15 and 16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And so he says, look, you were not born for yourselves, but you was born for a purpose. And it was God's purpose and his plan for your life. When I think about 2 Timothy is a very powerful scripture. 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So again, it's saying, you know, even before we were here, even before we were formed in our mother's womb, even before the world began, God had a plan. And so 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so it's talking about God knows that we are subject to error. He knows that we are simple. But Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So all of us are sinful. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But it's by his grace and mercy that he allowed us, that he's so loving and he gives us a chance after chance after chance. He's a God of many chances. I wouldn't say a second of second chances, because if you can look back over your life, we didn't had more than two chances. So he's a God of many chances. He's a forgiving God, faithful God. He's a loving God. He practices unconditional love, that agape type love. He doesn't bless us according to how he feels about us. He blesses us according to his will. He's just in all that he does. He's faithful. Scripture tells us in Psalms 37 and 23, I believe, that you never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. God is faithful, and whatever he says he's going to do, he's going to do it. And so then the last scripture that I want to bring to your attention when we're talking about predestination is Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. And it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us until the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. There again, God has called us to greatness. Every last one of us can be great in our own right. Every last one of us has a purpose in mind. It's not the same. You know, it's kind of like every last one of us has a different fingerprint. Everyone in the world has all the millions and millions of people has different fingerprints. When you think about it, all the people in the world, just wherever they are, millions and billions of people, listen to what I'm saying. And if every last one of us has our own unique fingerprint, then that means that even so, we are identified, we can be identified with a uniqueness that nobody else can imitate or duplicate. And therefore, every last one of our purpose is unique. It is tailor-made for our faith journey. And even though you might have a lot of people doing the same thing, it will still be different. And so let me give you, for my sports fans, that are out there, think about the gifts. And I'm going to just use this analogy. Steph Curry is gifted. LeBron James is gifted. Michael Jordan was gifted. All of them very talented at the top of their game, but they all have a unique, distinct difference. Even though they're all playing the same sport, they have a unique gift. And they're not the only ones. Those are just the three that I named. All I'm saying is you could be doing the same thing, but there still will be a distinct gift, a distinct difference, because God has assigned a certain group to you for the gift that you carry. And so we don't have to be jealous and envious of one another. We don't have to tear each other down. We don't have to try to pull support from one another. He says that we are many members of one body. In other words, every last one of us have a part in kingdom building. And we have to be vigilant about not being jealous, envious, tearing each other down. We have to be mindful that we are exalting, lifting each other up, that we are bearing the infirmities of the weak, as scripture says, that we are not thinking that if we don't do it, nobody else can, because that is not the case. We all are needed in the kingdom. All of our gifts and talents are needed in the kingdom. God needs all of us, because we're more powerful when we work together than we are when we stand apart. Scripture tells us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And if we are children of the Most High, then we have to stand together. We have to work together. We can't be divided, because the enemy will want us to be divided, so that we can't function as a whole. And if we're divided against ourselves, then we can't focus on the real enemy, and that's Satan. And so predestination just says that God already knew. You know, think about Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm paraphrasing. For he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us. And so his thoughts are to prosper us and not hinder us. He already knows what he had already planned for us. It's already there. So this brings me to the text that I want to talk about, and I'm wrapping it up. And the text is coming from 2 Samuel. And I wanted to bring up this particular person by the name of Mephibosheth. And so let me tell you who Mephibosheth was. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son. Jonathan was one of King Saul's sons. We also know that Jonathan and David were friends. Okay. And so let me just give you some background information about Mephibosheth. And so Mephibosheth was lame. He became lame at the age of 5 through no fault of his own. He was dropped when the nurse that was carrying him, they were fleeing the countryside because King Saul and his father Jonathan had been killed. And so he had royal lineage because of who his father was, or who his grandfather was, okay? He was exiled, which means he had to flee, but then exalted later. And I'm going to tell you about that. His covenant, it was a covenant that restored all that he lost. Loyalty made it possible. Pride, greed, jealousy, and envy were defeated. Forgiveness was the catalyst that broke the spirit of hatred off of David, the king at this time. And the reason why that happened is because David was able to spare King Saul's grandson, even though he didn't care for him. He was able to spare King Saul's grandson, which was his friend Jonathan's child, because he had a covenant with Jonathan. He was loyal to Jonathan, despite what King Saul had did to him. And so some of us are dealing with situations where we have been mistreated. And then we have an opportunity to do right by somebody else that was in that family that mistreated us. Do we sow the same type of seed that was given to us? Do we do an eye for an eye? Do we treat them the way they treated us? Or do we do it God's way? Do we treat them right despite their lineage or whoever was in their family that mistreated us? What will we do? Because David chose it to do it God's way. He chose not to hold a grudge. And so because of that, even though Mephibosheth was lame, even though he was afflicted, he was still predestined, and his predestination was based on the covenant between David and Jonathan, that at an appointed time, David gave him all that belonged to his family lineage. And so that just tells me that even though we might be afflicted, it does not affect the plan that God has for our life. It does not affect what God is going to do in our life. And so the message today is, you can be afflicted. Your name could be slandered. You can be exiled and persecuted. But God, if God has chosen you, there's nothing the enemy can do to stop you. Delayed does not mean denied. And afflicted surely does not equate to lack of favor. Because your current condition does not negate God's provision. This is because what God has predestined for your life is greater than your present circumstances. So you may be afflicted, but God can still deliver you. You may be going through, but God can see you through. You may be down and out, but God can work it out. You may feel like things will never get better, but God promised that your latter days will be greater than your former days. Let your faith lead you until you can physically see what God has promised you. Stay in faith and be encouraged, because your light affliction is no match for what God has already predestined for your life. Until we meet again, God bless. God bless until we speak again. Please be encouraged and have a good night.
To the heels from the top of your head.